And if you are a guest here this morning, I just say we as Grace Church, you may be wondering what you've come to. We're a multi-site church. We've got a congregation here in Chichester, and Vinu's going to be preaching to us here this morning. Then I'm going to drive him down to Bognor, where he's going to preach for our Bognor congregation, and then this afternoon be up in Midhurst with our Midhurst congregation. We're one church in three locations. We're also, it's part of a group of churches called Commission, and we've got churches all over the place, all in different countries, including India, and which is where Vinu is from. Now, those of you familiar with Commission will know that here in the UK, Guy Miller, based in Bournemouth, kind of leads Commission, all the Commission group of churches. And in India, the person that looks after all the Indian churches is Vinu here. So he's kind of Guy's equivalent in India. Am I getting this right? I'm waiting for you to correct me.
Yeah, no.
No, we're all good. We're all good. That's fantastic. And it's such a joy to speak to him, because I always feel encouraged that in 9 years we've gone from nothing to three sites. But Vinu's way ahead of us. They're already at five congregations in their church called Living Hope Church in Mumbai, which is the largest city of India. Two of their congregations speak Hindi. The others are English. I think one's actually bilingual. So they're doing great. And it was wonderful meeting various Indian leaders. I met a lovely guy called Frankie. You know Frankie. Same. Who's very quiet and unassuming, quietly telling me all about his three church congregations that they've built on the edge of Mumbai, and leaders from Goa. And it's such a joy to see that God is doing things, and the encouragement to see how they have grown. I believe there's now more Commission churches in India than the UK. They are outstripping us fast. And so we're going to have to pull our finger out to keep up with what God is doing in India. And on that, I can't think of a better way, really, than to say, you know, we are blessed to have the guy that is leading that out there, trying to lead the churches as they follow Jesus, actually, out there. So can we give it a huge Grace Church welcome to Vinu, who will bless us.
Right, once again, good morning. Okay, for some warning, that is, when I preach, I would like a response. So if you shout amen, yeah, you know, I would not be offended.
Amen.
Yeah, like, we love sound, noise, and Mumbai city is very noisy. How many of you have been to India? Yeah, there are very few. I mean, your salvation will be absolutely secure if you visit India at least once. Okay, it's great to be with you this morning. It's our privilege. Julie and I really love being with Steve and our host. We're staying with John and Molly from Bognor, and we know them for a number of years. It's great to be in their home and enjoying their hospitality, and thank you for Steve and the team for receiving us this morning. I notice in your announcement there is a quiz and nachos. You're not familiar with nachos, but we are familiar with Nando's. And I can assure you, if you have Nando's, you'll have more people. It is expensive, but I think you may want to try. Amen. Richard, you know that. You know that. You know that. I'm a great fan of Nando's. But just also want to say that today you will have a three-course meal, all served in Indian. Yeah, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's what I'm going for. This is breakfast, and then late lunch at Bognor, and Midhurst at dinner, all Indian dish. Yeah. So it's going to be spicy, hot. Get ready for it. Yeah. Turn with me to the book of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. I'm going to read through two outstanding stories, two outstanding miracles. And allow me to read, and then I'll get on with it. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the village and to buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. and taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave it to them, to his disciples. The disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Immediately, he made his disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After he had dismissed the crowd, he went upon a mountain himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the 4th watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid." And Peter answered, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water, came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "You, O little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped and saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." What an outstanding record of 2 wonderful miracles. So I'm going to just unpack this for you the way I have understood, and I've been blessed by this passage. I'm sure you, if you're a Christian, you are a, you know, reading Bible, you would have definitely read this passage sometime or the other at least once. How many of you read this passage before? All right. Okay. How many have preached from this passage before? Great. Wonderful. Anyone else who would like to do that now? Right. I'm going to share something which the Lord has, you know, spoken to my heart. Now, you must understand, the nation of Israel were under the rule of Roman Empire at this time. They were literally under the thumb of the Romans. Now, they didn't like it. Now, nobody liked to be ruled by somebody else. Yeah, we know that. And I know the Romans were wanting to come out of the rule of the Romans, and they wanted a break. They were hoping for a king to come and to rescue them. And many people in the Old Testament, they were under the rule, and the nation of Israel had a great king, and he became their deliverer. When Jesus came in the scene, they're looking for a deliverer. And Jesus performed this outstanding miracle of feeding 5,000 people, men and women. Apart from the 5,000, there were men and women as well. And as soon as they did that, in the Gospel of Luke, it says they wanted to make him the king. They forcefully wanted to take him and make him a king of Israel, just to show that how frustrated they were under the rulership of the Romans. But Jesus, as you see and you read in the Bible, he was never shaped by the agenda of somebody else. He was always functioned under the agenda of his Father. Is that a good thing? It's good to follow someone who is focused. It's good to be led by someone who knew where he is going. And Jesus was completely, he was full on, I mean, really shaped by this wonderful agenda set by his Father. When they had all eaten and satisfied, they picked up the pieces, and there were 12 baskets. And it says Jesus immediately got them into a boat, and he said, "You go on the other side, I will meet you." And he went up to pray. Jesus chose the 12 disciples to shape them so that they will shape the world. Do you know that each of his disciples were not so qualified, not so educated, not so knowledgeable, but they were men, ordinary. Most of them were fisher folks. They were ordinary men. They were chosen by our master for a purpose. They were chosen for a purpose to really shape the world. And as I was preparing, I felt Jesus showed a lot of faith in his disciples rather than disciples had faith in Jesus. He was just showing faith to pick up these ordinary, uneducated men to be world changers. And you and me must take great comfort in that. God can choose anyone. God can choose anyone to shape the world. And he can use you and me for that. Yeah? Amen? You're thinking, oh, no, I don't know. I'm not so qualified. I can't do the things. Hey, hold it. The disciples were a fearful bunch of men. And they were chosen and shaped by Jesus for a world mission. Most of them at that point in time, not even traveled more than 30 miles. Yeah? Beyond, that's all they traveled, 30 miles. They would have gone a lot of time in and out of the sea to fish. But most of them had not traveled more than 30 miles. But God chose a bunch of people like that and made them world changers. He sent them away from the crowd into a storm. How do you like that? He chose them. Said, okay, the feeding time. They were all excited. 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. And he said, 12 baskets full. And they would have thought, we can actually stay here and have some more time. He just says, no. Get into the boat. Get into the boat. And I want you to go into the other side. It was a clear instruction from Jesus Christ. And they obeyed. Friends, let me just give you a bit of an insight, which I felt. When you obey God, that doesn't mean that storm doesn't come to you. Do you agree? As I said earlier, amen. When you agree, you can say amen. Yeah? All right. He sent them away from the crowd into a storm. Perhaps some of you are feeling that way. You know, I'm not saying everyone. We all go through times of storm in our life, isn't it? Not just the real sea. I worked out at sea for 9.5 years, I know what is a storm is like. I've seen, literally, we were in a barge, and I've seen a service ship, you know, a ship that comes to bring provision, water and diesel and other things to our barge. At a storm, I saw the hull part of the ship, because such was a storm. You know, I mean, you if you have any faith in prayer, that's the time you make a lot of prayer. You really think that, you know, I don't know whether I'll ever get to see my family again. I've seen that. So storm is something, I'm not talking about that kind of storm. There are many things, good things can suddenly turn out to be a storm. For example, finance. Finance is a good thing, isn't it? It's a good thing. The love of money is a problem, but we all need money. But when you don't have enough, or you're thrown into a challenge with financial challenge, you got bills piling up, job, you just lost your job and money is not coming in. Now that can be a storm. How many of you know that marriage is a wonderful thing? Yeah? Amen. Yeah? Steve, love, he believes in that. And I believe our marriage is, you know, look at our wives. Yeah? Marriage is a wonderful thing, but the same thing can be a stormy thing. Oh, the one I love, the one I long for, I'm in the storm. I don't know whether I can continue. You know, people talk about 10 years of marriage, 25, 50 years of marriage. I'm not even sure that I'll survive for 5 years. You can laugh also freely. Right? The good thing can suddenly become a stormy situation. Children, the Bible says, children are a blessing. How many of you know that? Yeah? But the same thing can be, especially when they become teenagers. I said, you know, this is the same one I gave birth to. This is the same one I loved. This is the same one I said, mama, dada, you know, all those things. And the thing is, you know, anyone, you ask anybody, said, you know, how's life? How are your children? Oh, what to tell you? It is all, I mean, they are throwing a storm in your life. Job is a good thing, isn't it? We all need job. We all need work. And during the recession, I thought many, many people went through severe storm. People just suddenly lost. I mean, we still hear stories in our midst, you know, people saying that we got last week 15 people laid off from our department. Oh, that's a storm. And you're living in that storm. You don't know what will happen to you next. What about health? Now, health is a gift from God. How many of you agree that? You know, we don't really appreciate it. You know, if you get up in the morning and you're saying, you know, oh, I can see, I can hear, I can talk, I can smell. You know, it's all good things. And I say, wow, that's great. Thank you, Lord. I have good health. I can walk. I can use my hands and legs. But the same thing can actually become a stormy when you go through sickness. You agree that? So, we are not strangers to storm. There are good things, but the same good things can turn out to be a storm. When Jesus sent his disciples into, you know, to go to the other side, he knew there would be a storm. If you are in a storm, that doesn't mean that God has left you. Can I say that again? If you are in a storm, that doesn't mean that God has left you. Let me also say that if you are obedient, doesn't guarantee that you will face no storm. So the disciples were obedient. Jesus said, get into the boat. They all got into the boat. They were all excited. Oh, we can't wait for the next miracle. Yeah? You remember? 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. Who said that, you know, send the people away to their village and fetch food? I'll tell you, my friend Matthew, it is great to be with Jesus. And Peter said, yeah, it is great to be. I mean, 12 baskets. Who got the baskets now? They would be discussing these things. They got into the boat with a joyful atmosphere. Joyful. They were all happy because we have seen an outstanding miracle. We've never seen anything like this before. It is fun to be with Jesus Christ. Amen. And they all got into the boat and they said, wow, it is great. And I can't wait for the next adventure. They didn't know that, you know, they're going to be tested in their backyard. These fisher folks, they know their sea very well. They know their boat. They know how to row this, you know, boat and, you know, come through storm. But this one is tough. I want to share 4 things from this passage. The process, the pressure, the problem, the power, and the proclamation. So the process, the problem, the power, and the proclamation. Jesus made them to get into the boat and went to pray. There is a process. If Jesus had to make these ordinary fishermen to be world changers, I don't think Jesus was stupid to send them away into mission straight away. I want to say this to you, friends. There is a process that we need to go through. We cannot ignore the process that God has initiated in our life. And that process, Jesus has sent us into a journey. Like this disciple, they were sent on a journey, but they were also, you'd find Jesus praying for them. We live in a very fast-paced world, don't we? You know, I mean, we can get across the other side of the world in an instant. Click of a button on a social media, Facebook, Twitter, WhatsApp. How many of you are familiar with WhatsApp? Yeah, you're familiar with, yeah? Are you on WhatsApp? Right, I'll connect with you. Right, yeah, WhatsApp. I mean, you know, requests come, you know, please pray for this one and that one. And immediately we get the message. I said, wow, this one is need. And I don't know about you in England. In India, we are quick to send a reply, a WhatsApp message, a prayer request comes, and they're quick to respond by sending a message, an icon. What does that mean? What does that mean? We are praying, or sometimes like this. Now, I would describe this in our setting, I would say, please don't send that kind of icons. They would take a few moments and pray before you send that. Most of the people, this is in our country, most of the people, when they send that icon, they just delegated a responsibility. They said, you know, praying. Actually, they're not praying. They're just sending a message. Maybe it's different in your country. You know, I said to our people, look, those icons are great, but you pray first and then send them. Don't send it as a replacement for your prayer. When you send an icon like this, your prayers are not going to be answered. When you pray, your prayers will be answered. Amen? I say this to people. Some of those icons are like this. Please don't send any more message. Some are like this. Never again. But I have made that kind of mistake. Yeah, you just in a response, quickly praying. Actually, I've not prayed. Jesus never sent an icon, my friend. He prayed for his people. He still prays for you and me. Right now, in heaven, Jesus is interceding for us. He's not sending a WhatsApp icon. We are saying, you know, Jesus, please answer my, you know, help me in my exams. Jesus sent an icon. How would you like that kind of response from Jesus? You know, it's quick. Is that Jesus, you know, I need to get through this medical checkup and, you know, please heal me. How do you like it? Please don't do that. Let's pray. Let's really take, when someone asks for a prayer, you can send a message, but take a moment and pray and then say, I prayed for you. Does that make sense? So let's be more honest in our praying. The hand of God is upon you does not assure plain sailing. I've gone through a number of challenges in my life. I didn't like it. I didn't like when I went through the challenges. But honestly speaking, I come through those storm more stronger than ever before. And for those of you who are going through a storm, let me just assure you, you will come through more stronger than ever before. There is a preparation. There's the process is important. In this process, there are a number of biblical characters that you can see. You see David, King David. He was a shepherd boy, and he carried breakfast for his brothers, and he found Goliath standing in front of him and challenging the whole Israelites, whole army of God. And he said, "Who are you, uncircumcised Philistine?" He took a sling, stone. You know the story, brought Goliath down, chopped his head, you know, things, he became a hero. And the victory procession, you remember that? The victory procession. And as they were coming, it must have been a great sight. They returned by, you know, slaying Goliath, and they shouted, "Saul slain? 1,000. So Saul was very happy, you know, in his head out, "Oh, Saul slain 1,000. And then came the next one. David slain 10,000. Saul looked back. Who's that? You remember that? Sight. You know, just imagine. They both walk, you know, kind of a paraded through the city, and people are shouting, especially girls. They say, "See, look at that, David, David." And David is saying, you know, giving flying kiss, and he is saying, and they said, "David, autograph, David." David said, "Please." And the next thing you know, that David was in a cave chased by Saul. Why? David wasn't ready, my friend. Just one victory does not guarantee that you're ready for leading. David was, he experienced a great victory, but he wasn't ready. And all those wonderful things landed him in a cave, And immediately he had to realign. He had to learn a lot before he actually became the king of Israel. Joseph, in the Old Testament, I mean, a man with dreams and father's gift, a multicolored coat and all those things. And he had this dream and he interpreted his dream to his brothers and made enemies immediately. The next moment, he was in a hole, put down by his brothers. Later, much later, he became the prime minister of Egypt. And I feel God's way of leading with us, leading us, is always, God always has a process. And we cannot ignore the process of God. There is a journey between follow me and the commission. So Jesus' disciples were called and he said, follow me. And the next thing they had to actually go through a whole lot of things before they were commissioned into say that, go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, surely I will be with you till the end of the age. So there is a process that we need to understand. God put them, Jesus put them in a storm. And it is fair for me to say that, especially for those of you going through some difficult situation. Don't look for devil where you cannot actually find. Wherein, look for God and ask God, why? Why am I in this situation at this very moment? There is the Sea of Galilee. They say that it is 13 miles long and 7 miles wide. 13 miles long, 7 miles wide. That's long distance. You can't see the other end of the sea if you are standing in front of it. But they were in that place. So when you are in that kind of place, you know that there is no escape. You can't come back. You can't go forward. You are in a storm. I would like to personally like to get away from it, if possible. That's a human tendency, isn't it? Human tendency is if I don't like anything, I like to change. Yeah? How many of you are familiar with remote? Remote control? Yeah? I mean, I know it is a man thing. It's a man thing. So women, you can relax. In the house, man knows where the remote is. Yeah? And when he sit down, like me, I mean, I'll speak for myself. When I sit down to watch the television, I like cricket, so I watch the sports, you know, sports channel. I like news, so I watch the news channel. I like movies sometimes. So I can watch cricket match in between that, you know, the commercial. I don't like the commercial section, so I switch over to news. And if I don't like the news, I switch over to some movies, yeah? So I can watch three things almost one after the other. So the other day, Julie and myself, we were sitting together in the house. And women are very different. They can watch one particular channel for the whole day. At least in our country, it's like that. So I want to be culturally relevant this morning. Yeah? Okay, you may be thinking, no, I'm not like that. But in our country, I mean, women can actually sit a particular teleserial and they can watch it from morning till evening without, you know, uninterrupted viewing. My wife is a bit like that. She loves to watch one thing. So the other day, we were sitting together and watching television. And I'm a bit desperate. I'm looking for the remote. And she said, what are you looking for? So I said, I'm looking for the remote. She said, I kept it far away from you. So that we both can sit and watch one movie. She wouldn't mind watching the commercial in between. I mean, you know, it's an absolute, you know, uninterrupted thing. I like to move from one thing to the other. Now, that's our human tendency. If we don't like the channel, we say it loud. That's a good answer. If you don't like the channel, we if you don't like your mobile, you change it. If you don't like your car, you change it. If you don't like your job, you change it. If you don't like your house, you start saving. Okay, if you don't like your spouse, yeah, remote. You just change it. Now, we live in a world where things are on a press of a button, you can do many things. And unfortunately, it has crept into our day-to-day life. We like to change. That's why we see there isn't any. I like to change this. Right. If you don't like it, we change it. And I feel, you know, we must be careful that we are not living in a changing world. We must have a constant approach. We must have a steady approach. God is not a God. We have a God who is unchanging. If we ever want to have a character of God, we must be careful that we are not changing. And many, many marriages are not working because they have this option. If I don't like this, I will change it. If I don't like my husband, I get another one. If I don't like my wife, I get another one. If I don't like that one, I get another one. And it is a world, it's a practice in the world. I mean, it's just going on and on. And I think it is important that we don't fit ourselves into that kind of cycle. Allow God's process to come so that we can learn more. Don't be in a position to just keep changing. Let me assure you, friends, there is no easy way out. Is life like that for you? It was like that for the people of Israel during the time of the Roman rule over them. If you're feeling like that, you see no way out. Are you asking the question, where is God? In life, pressure and training doesn't come with a warning. They were in a storm till 4 a.m. Yeah? They were in a storm 4 o'clock in the morning. God, Jesus was preparing them for the challenges ahead. And I really feel there are people in this room, young, it's quite a young church, you know. I meant everyone. You know, it's just God is taking you through a journey, and it is a preparation. And in this preparation, God is bringing the best out of us. How many of you would say agree to that? God is bringing the best out of us, and He wants to shape us and change us into the image of His Son. Can you imagine how hard work that is? Making us into the image of Jesus Christ. But you know what? God is committed to doing it, and He will do it. He is committed to changing each one of us into the image of Jesus Christ. There is a danger for quick promotion. There is a danger. They were not ready for the world mission, and Jesus had to prepare them. I've heard the sayings recently. Overnight success takes 25 years. You like that? And I think as a church, we completed 25 years last year. And I have led that church for now 15 years. 10 years was led by another pastor. For the last 15 years, we have seen tremendous breakthrough. Tremendous breakthrough. And we as a husband and wife, we face challenges. The church life is fantastic. I love it. I love it. But sometimes the challenges can be a bit too heavy. But you hang in there, knowing that this is a preparation from God. And I'll tell you, success will be your portion. You know, it's like almost like preparing us like arrows. God is preparing like us like an arrow. You look at a tree and look at the branch, and you go to the tree and look at the branch so that you know you have to hit the target. You have to hit the target. Who am I to hit the target? You know, in order to hit that branch, to hit the target, you need to chop the branch. You need to shape it. And those of you know that, you know, the making of an arrow, they say that the branch is cut, shaped, and they put it in water, boiled water. And the man who prepares the arrow knows exactly the boiling temperature. And they don't leave it longer, neither shorter. They do that. So they take the arrow, take the branch from the boiling pot, fix the arrowhead and the feathers, and the arrow then hits the target. And I really feel there are people in this room at the moment, God is preparing you to be a great arrow. A day will come, you know, we will be able to, when an archer, when he takes the arrow, after taking one arrow, he doesn't go and prepare another arrow. He has a quiver full of arrows. And I want to say this to you as a church. God is preparing a quiver here. Quiver or of many, many arrows. Many arrows. There is a preparation, but a day will come. It would be like, you know, there is no looking back. Take one and fire it. Take another one and shoot it. Take another one and shoot it. You are not, because this is a preparation time. God is going to prepare, take you to higher places, to great distance, because right now is a preparation ground. What you are seeing as a church is nothing compared to what you are going to experience. But the people also faced, disciples also faced a problem. It was dark and Jesus has not come. Jesus said, go on to the other side, I will meet you. 13 miles long, 7 miles wide. They couldn't find Jesus anywhere. But it says Jesus saw them struggling from a distance. Seeing them in the dark, Jesus walked up to them. Friends, we talk about supernatural work of God and Peter walking on the water. There is something that happened before Peter could walk on the water. It was Jesus seeing them in the dark from a distance. Do you know that Jesus never used specs? Yeah? In the dark, he could see his disciples. Maybe some of us are going through a dark phase. A stormy night, a dark phase. But you know something? God can see you right now where you are. He sees you right now. And Jesus saw them. He comes down from the mountain. And guess what? He just carries on walking on the water. From the mountain, he walks, and you know, it's almost like walk on the water. Ooh. For us, it would be difficult. But Jesus walks on the water and comes straight to his disciples. God came to them. And for those of you facing storm and dark situation, I want to say this to you as an encouragement. God is walking into your situation right now. God is meeting with you right now. And he said, they cried out. They said, you know, one of the things people, when they go through difficult times, instead of seeing God, they tend to see a ghost. For example, I've come across a number of people in our setting. If they go to a doctor and they get a report and the doctor says, you know what, I'm not very happy with this particular preliminary report. I want you to do a biopsy. Are you familiar with that form, biopsy? And you go to a doctor and as soon as he said that, you know, I'm not saying that you have cancer, but I just want you to do a biopsy. And you know what goes through that person's mind? You know, a series of thoughts. Oh, God. Do I have cancer? Why did he say that? And then you go for your biopsy and you wait for the report. Those waiting days are terrible days. You don't know what the report is. Say that you get your report on Wednesday morning. You wake up on the morning, Wednesday morning, and you wait for the time, what time you can collect your report. You go to the clinic and you collect your report and it is sealed. And what do you think you are carrying? You walk to your doctor. And you have that all the report, and the doctor opens the report, and this is what it is. Like, you know, doctor, look at the report. And what do you think going on in your mind? Oh, praise God. Is that what you say? You think, oh no. And the doctor says, you know what? I expected the worst and you have no cancer. You can say hallelujah for that. You know, we expect the worst when we go through difficulty. Disciples were no different. They looked at, you know, the whole thing and they saw someone is walking on the water in the dark. And they said, they cried out. The Bible says they cried out, it is a ghost. So they're not even a whisper. They cried out. They're saying, it is a ghost. And Jesus said, no, it's not a ghost. It's I. And friends, hear this. If you are in a storm, you are going through a dark phase in your life, and if you are seeing something is coming towards you, it is not the devil, it is Jesus himself. And he's coming to save, he's coming to bring you to a new place. Jesus, when they heard it was Jesus, they said, Jesus, if it is I, you know, Peter said, Jesus, if it is you, let me come to you. And I'm thinking, what on earth Peter is thinking? In the middle of the night, in the middle of a storm, it is dark. They were struggling to survive. And now he wants to have an extra adventure with Jesus Christ. And I want to say this to you, Grace Church, Chichester, get ready for an adventure with Jesus Christ. Get ready for an adventure with Jesus Christ. You may be thinking that, oh, I'm going through one of the greatest difficulties in my life. In the midst of your difficulties, I challenge you to get into an adventure with Jesus Christ. And you will not be disappointed, because the story tells us that, you know, story says that Peter decided to come on the water. Jesus said, an invitation, open invitation. An open invitation, Jesus said, come. Come. Do you know what happened? At that point, the law of gravity. How many of you have seen the movie Interstellar? You've seen it? Yeah, Interstellar. My sons insisted. We have two sons, Jonathan and Ankit. They said, you know, Daddy, we must go for this movie. It's a great movie. And we decided to go for a late night show. And we reached there. For the movie. And halfway through the movie, I slept. Because I couldn't take it. All physics coming back. I've left physics when I left the school, you know. And it's all coming back. And I said, at the end of it, I asked Jonathan, so how was the movie? He said, great, Dad. You know, it's a great movie. So he said, I said, what was it about? He said, it's about gravity. I said, what do you mean by gravity? Yeah, it's about gravity. That's what it is. Do you know something? The law of gravity. You know that there is a gravity thing. The law of gravity made way for Peter when Jesus gave an invitation. And I want to challenge you. There are situations in front of you. There are situations in your neighborhood. There are situations, you know, at your workplace. People come and tell you that, you know, this one got cancer. That one is sick. This one is paralyzed. That one has got some allergy and this and that. You know, let us not be like the rest. Let us invite Jesus into that situation. Jesus did that, isn't it? All the law of gravity stepped back for one of Jesus' disciples to walk on water. He has given us everything for life and godliness. I have tons of stories. I don't have time to tell you, but you know, we see people healed. You know, almost every week we have a service, healing service every Friday called Encountering Jesus. Last 4 years, we have gathered over 8,000 people. Over 250 testimonies of people being healed, including a blind receiving sight. We've seen that. How? Because when people of God believe there is the law of gravity is there, that's real. But the law of gravity can make a way for God's children when we step out in faith. The power Peter began to sink. Peter began to sink. Now, that's quite normal, isn't it? When you walk on water, you will sink. I've tried. Easy to walk from a swimming pool, you know, on the edge of the swimming pool. I wanted to try. I said, you know, Lord, help me. I took a step and I went straight down. So I'm not succeeded in walking on water yet. But you know what? I'm not going to give up. I will try. I had allowed my shadow to fall on the sick person because Peter's shadow fell on the people and they got healed. Similarly, I've tried that. Nobody has got healed, but I would not give up. Why not? I believe if you are a child of God, the law of gravity will make way for supernatural things to happen in our midst. And I believe even today, it is possible. So right now, I'm going to ask you, if anyone who is sick in this room, I want you to stand up. Anyone, any kind of sickness, doctor said, you need to have medication, or doctor said this cannot be done. Any kind of sickness. I'm just going to ask God to come and touch you. Right? I'm not the one who's going to heal you. Jesus is the one who's going to heal you. He will make way for you and me. The law of gravity, the doctor's report can be changed. The law of gravity can be changed. Anything that is said impossible, God can make it possible. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand where you are. I'm just going to give you a few seconds more. If anyone, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what sickness you have. But Jesus is the healer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father. Thank you, Lord. I want you to lift your hands to God, please. Just lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one who walked on water, the one who multiplied 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and fed more than 5,000 people. The one who said to blind Bartimaeus, receive your sight. The one who healed the paralytic. The one who raised Lazarus from the dead. He is with us right now. Lord, we come to that God who is alive. We come to that God who is unchanging. We come to that God who said, it is I who healed thee. And Lord, we thank you. Healing is your idea. Lord, doctors can cure. We thank you for that precious gift of their service to the community. But Lord, we know that there is someone who is bigger than a doctor, who is a healer. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I commit every man, every woman standing in faith. I pray at this very moment, let the healing power of Jesus Christ to be manifested upon them, Lord God. Let every sickness, anything that the doctor said, it is not possible, be made possible in Jesus' name. We bless you and give you praise, my God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I pray, God, at this very moment, let faith arise in their heart. Let them believe that, Lord, it is not just a story in the Bible. It can be translated into my life. And I pray for faith to arise in their heart in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, please. You may be seated. Peter began to sink. When Peter began to sink, let me tell you something. Jesus didn't commend him for his lack of faith. There was no pat on his back. He said, you know, oh, it's all right. You know, it happens. It happened to you as well. No. Jesus rebuked him saying, you, O little faith. He didn't just completely ignore him, say that you who have no faith. You know what? You, O little faith. Even your faith is as small as a mustard seed. It has the potential to grow. Let this message raise the bar of your faith from this very moment. Let that mustard seed faith really penetrate into every aspect of your life. Jesus, when he said, you a little faith, what he meant is, Peter, you could do this. You could do this. You did it. Peter, other than Jesus, Peter is the only one in the human history who walked on the water. Peter walked on water and came to Jesus. And he asks us the same. When we find a situation which is beyond us, it is not beyond God. God can do it. And he will do it for us. And I want to say this to you as a church. You can do it. You can. You don't have to just, oh, no, it's difficult for doctors, so it's difficult for me. It is difficult for you. It is difficult for the doctors. But it is nothing is impossible with our God. If he can walk on water, he will make us to walk on water as well. And finally, when they saw this, there was a great proclamation. It says, when they got into the boat, the sea was calm. Jesus got into the boat. They were all happy. And this is what they said. Truly, you are the Son of God. Truly, you are the Son of God. When we pass through a difficult phase, there is a preparation, there's a process, and you go through that, and there's a power of God. When all this happens, suddenly you find something in your life, and you see Jesus is preparing you. And when you see the breakthrough in your life, it is not for you to be happy, oh, I've seen breakthrough now, I know how to bring breakthrough. It is about us moving into that place and say, God, truly, you are the Son of God. Maybe some of you walked into a church after a very long gap. Maybe some of you have never heard a message like this before. Can I just give you an opportunity, friends? An opportunity for you to know this God, Jesus. He is truly a Son of God, the Son of God. He is truly the Son of God. And the Bible says, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be saved. And I do not want you to go away from this place without knowing this Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're going through a storm, you can come to this Jesus. If you're a Christian for a long time and you've not seen breakthrough, you're facing storm today, let this message bring you to a new place of faith and expectation in God. As Christians, I believe faith is something that we keep growing every day of our life. And may this message would be a reminder for us as Christians that, you know, hey, I need to grow in my faith. And for those who never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ came into this world. That's true. He lived in this world for 33 years. At the age of 33, he was trialed and persecuted, and he was killed. Yeah, he died on the cross. Died on the cross. The Bible says he died on the cross for your sins and my sins. And when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, he forgives all our sins and gives us a new life. And in this new life, Jesus said, you will share eternity with me. And that's my prayer. None of us in this room will be lost out on that. It would be wonderful for all of us to share eternity with Jesus Christ. So there's an invitation for you, friends. An invitation for you to say that, yes, I want to. Today, on the 6th of September 2015, I'm making a decision to know this Jesus Christ. And for others, on the 6th of September 2015, you're taking a decision to say that I'm going to get to know Jesus better. I'm going to take steps of faith, and that he would not say the same thing what he said to Peter, you a little faith, and he would say, well done. You've taken a step, and every time, this is my experience, every time you take a step of faith, Jesus will back you. He will come. He will help you to walk on the water. Amen? Amen. Passing through the struggle, you will have a new revelation that he is truly the Son of God. Just before I close, I want to bring a prophetic word for you as a church. I felt this when I was praying. You know, there's a scripture in the book of Acts chapter 12, verse 10. It says, they passed through the first and second guards. This is when Peter was put in prison. They passed through the first and second guards and came into the iron gate leading to the city. Iron gate leading to the city. And it says, it opened for them by itself. And they went through it. I believe you are entering into a season. A season that you pass through guards, yeah? Some screenings, some difficult phases and things like that. But as a church, you are entering into a season, an iron gate that leads to the city is going to be, and it's opened by itself. You don't need to push it. You don't need to do anything extra. Keep pressing on in God, and the gate will be open. There are things that you've seen in the past, Steve. I want to say this to you. You've seen in the past, you've seen doors being opened, but I believe God is preparing you to see gates being opened, city gates being opened. You know, I don't know about you. I know this place is a bit far away from London, but I felt this. I'm going to say this in submission to, you know, all that you can wait. I believe God is going to give you an entry into the city of London. City of London. Gates will be open for you to be in that place. So, you know, and it will open. You don't need to do anything about it. You just keep doing what you're doing at the moment. And a gate will be opened for you to the city of London. And that will be the beginning. And God will use you to open many gates in Europe. Yeah? So, that's a word for you as a church. Yeah? And you need to receive it. And I submit that to you and your leadership team here. I want you to just stand up. I've got just 5 minutes more, right? Yeah, sure. Yeah, 5 minutes more. I want you to stand up. There's a process. There's a problem, the power of God, and a proclamation. I specifically dwelt too much on the process because I believe this church, God is preparing each one of you like an arrow. You know, and if you're thinking that I'm going to be here forever, please let me warn you, you will not be here forever. God will shoot some of you to further places. It's going to be a sending church. Let me just say that. This is going to be a sending church. And if you're going through a certain preparation, it is for you to know that you're going to be shot further. If the arrow is not shaped well, the arrowhead is not in the proper specification, and the feathers are not fixed, it is all going to take time. If it is going to be a shoddy job, it's a quick work, you will not be shot further. But this time is taken for that God can shoot you to the place where he intend for you to be. And really hit the target. Father, I just want to thank you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for your grace is so evident in this place, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I just bless you, Lord God. I just bless you, Lord God. How many of you can say that I'm going through a storm? I'm going through this preparation, which is tough for me. Job, finance, maybe marriage, maybe health, children, you know, any situation. I want you to just put your hand so that I can see that I'm praying for. Praise God. Thank you. If you are in that stormy situation, let me just assure you that storm is temporary, but being with God is eternal. Storm is temporary, yeah? You're not going to have storm forever and ever. Keep your hands lifted up. I'm going to pray for you that God will help you in this process for you to have a greater revelation of who God is. Who God is. In your moment of need, in your dark moment, I want you to see not a ghost, but Jesus. And I pray, God, I pray for every man, every woman in this place, as they stand, their hands lifted up, Lord God, I pray in the midst of their storm, they will see Jesus Christ. When they look at you, they will not call out, oh, it is a ghost. They will be able to call out, oh, Lord, thank you, you are there. And I pray, God, for them to see you in a new way, a greater revelation of who God is, a greater revelation of who Jesus is. And I pray, God, every storm, as it has been temporary, and I pray for this precious gathering, their storm will also be temporary. Remove the storm, I pray. Let the storm be, the Lord Jesus, walk right in into their situation and calm the sea, calm the storm, and Lord, be with them. So we thank you and we just bless you, my God. Bless you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus. Just one more prayer, and then I'll close. You may put your hands down, please. Thank you. Yeah. If anyone feels that, you know, I want to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ today. On the 6th of September, 2015. I want to know this Jesus more. I want to pray for you. If you are in that place, I don't want to embarrass, but I just want you to just make this prayer. Just, you know, you can make this prayer and say, God, Jesus, come into my heart. And I will be gone in a few minutes. But you can speak to one of the leaders. They will help you. They will help you to make that decision and to make you grow strong in that decision. Father, I just pray for your people. For those who known Christ, but today they have a greater revelation that truly you are the Son of God. Lord, there are many people in this world use Jesus' name. They even swear on your name. But Lord, I pray today they will have a great revelation. Truly you are the Son of God. I pray, God, that you would help them to make that decision. And they will continue to grow in that decision. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and God bless you.